Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Saturday, December 27th, 2025 reading of the Jefferson County Publications. My name is Donna Gill. Today, we will be reading from the following main articles. From the Arvada Press, All-State Football Teams for 2025 Season Selected by John Renfro. Arvada City Council approves rezoning for Candelas Point to allow townhomes by Riley Dunn. Voters to decide on harsher fentanyl penalties on 2026 ballot by Chase Woodruff. Canyon Courier. Bigger changes are planned for Morrison's Gateway by Jane Reuter. Looking back on the year in the foothills by Jane Reuter. From the Jeffco Transcript, Ralston Valley basketball off to another red hot start by Dennis Pluse. From the Arvada Press, All-State football teams for 2025 season selected by John Renfro. As schools prepare to shut down for winter break, championship football teams are still riding the high from the climax of the season in early December. Pomona made a statement when it won the Class 3A state championship, showing Big Black is officially back. Dakota Ridge finally joined its South Jeffco rivals with a Class 4A state championship, and Cherry Creek continued its 5A dynasty, winning its 15th state championship and 6th in the last 7 years. But athletes across the state showcased their skills all season long, with many earning a spot on one of this year's all-state teams from the Colorado High School Activities Association. According to CHSAANow.com, the teams are based on voting by head coaches across the state, with players placed on to first team, second team, and honorable mentions based upon votes received. Four 11-man football classes 1A through 5A, 11 linemen, 11 skill position players, and one kicker-punter were named to the first and second teams. For 8-man football, 8 linemen and 8 skill players made each team, and in 6-man, there are 12 players included on each team. The list below will only contain Class 3A through 5A. All state teams for classes below 3A can be found in chsaanow.com. Class 5A. Player of the Year, Jaden Fox, Cherry. Cherry Creek Coach of the Year, Jared Yanacito, Ralston Valley. First Team, Zeke Andrews, QB, Ralston Valley. Brooklyn Bailey, Wide Receiver, CB, Mountain Vista. Mason Bandauer, OL, Fort Collins. Nico Bonallo, Wide Receiver, / Safety, Ralston Valley. Austin Blattner, corner / defensive tackle, Ralston Valley. And Mason Bonner, tight end / defensive end, Mullen. Lake Bruce, K. Valor Christian, Torre Davis, wide receiver, free safety, Fairview, Jaden Fox, running back, SB, Cherry Creek, Ty Getchie, tight end, Cherry Creek, and Caden Hollis, defensive end, Cherry Creek. Maxwell Lovett, wide receiver, Cherry Creek. Oliver Miller, offensive line, Cherry Creek. Colton Ott, offensive line, defensive tackle, Fairview. Marquise Reese, quarterback, Mountain Vista. Levi Relos, wide receiver, Ralston Valley. And Jackson Roper, T, Cherry Creek. Ethan Shirazi, cornerback, wide receiver, Ralston Valley. Brody Seek, defensive end, linebacker, Arapaho. Cannon Smith, offensive line, Valor Christian. Cass Spence, wide receiver, free safety, Valor Christian. Tufanua, Iotana TI Umu Case NG/DT Cherry Creek and Brady Vodica quarterback Cherry Creek. Second team, Ryken Banks, right back, leg end. DJ Bordeaux, quarterback, legend. Tyreek Cullum, tight end, defensive line. Arvada West, Lannon Drum, wide receiver, slash safety, Arapaho. Luca Fasano, offensive line, defensive tackle, Fairview. Brody Flores, offensive linebacker, tight end, Grandview. And Braylon Hodge, offensive linebacker, middle linebacker, Cherry Creek. Javon Jones, defensive end, defensive tackle, Eagle Crest. Japri Joseph Jennings, wide receiver, defensive back, Mountain Vista. Adrian Lee, defensive line, Mountain Vista. Troy Maailo, defensive end, tight end, Mullen. And Jack Manthe, kicker, punter, Regis Jesuit. Jack Manthe, right back, left back, Fort Collins. Noah Muir, wide receiver, defensive back, Arvada West. Will Monroe, tight end, defensive end, Columbine. Jackson Pyatt, right back, left back, Arvada West. Sabi Rutgers, defensive back, wide receiver, Fairview. Samuel Sandy, defensive line, legend. And Mark Snyder, right back, cornerback, Columbine. Max Steinhoff, offensive line, legend. Josh Stenzel, offensive guard, Ralston Valley. Jaden Simala, offensive line, defensive line, Arvada West. And Braylon Tolliver, right back, Erie. Honorable mentions can be found at chsaanow.com/sports/football. Class 4A, Player of the Year, Landon Kalsbach, Dakota Ridge. Coach of the Year, Jeremiah Berenson, Dakota Ridge. First team, Kellen Berenson, quarterback, Dakota Ridge. Dylan Burns, kicker, punter, Durango. Everett Capehart, offensive tackle, Ponderosa. Owen Cheatham, offensive line, defensive line, Durango. Jesus Clairvo, right back, safety, KR. Bloomfield, and Isaiah Garcia Perez, tackle, offensive guard, defensive tackle. Broomfield, Evan Hayes, TC Broomfield, Tyler Heimbaum, tight end, defensive line, Palmer Ridge. Camden Jensen, defensive end, tackle, tight end. From Heritage, Easton Jessup, offensive line, defensive line, Montrose, and Landon Kalsbach, linebacker, Dakota Ridge. Jackson Mabe, right back, left back, Palmer Ridge. Ethan Mangrum, right back, SS, offensive linebacker, Sand Creek. Chase Meehan, free safety, right back, Montrose. Jack Offerdahl, defensive back, Dakota Ridge. And Ryan Pankey, tight end, offensive linebacker, Montrose. Trevor Prock, offensive linebacker, Montrose. Nathan Rodriguez, wide receiver, Dakota Ridge. Mo Fennell, right back, Heritage. Owen Tweesum, offensive line, defensive line, Palmer Ridge. Marcus Weston, defensive line, Dakota Ridge. Jace Winchester, offensive line, Dakota Ridge. And Elijah Womack, right back, offensive line, Montrose. Second team, Blake Bishop, defensive back, Dakota Ridge. Jake Blossinger, tight end, defensive end, Palmer Ridge. Jake Coyle, defensive back, wide receiver, Palmer Ridge. Zach Crisser, wide receiver, cornerback, Palmer Ridge. Luke Dodson, Northfield, tackle, Northfield, and Kobe Dooley, wide receiver, Mesa Ridge, Brody Elliott, linebacker, tight end, Palmer Ridge, Ernesto Galvin, offensive line, defensive line, Durango, Elliott Graham, guard, tackle, Heritage, Cole Grizzle, defensive end, tight end, Ponderosa, and Tanner Guthrie, SSFS, free safety, and I don't know what SS is, Heritage, Grant Haas, defensive line, halfback, Monarch, Sam Hawker, quarterback, free safety, punter, Cheyenne Mountain, Drew Japp, linebacker, tight end, Palmer Ridge, Chester Matthews, kicker, Pueblo West, and Jeter MacArthur, wide receiver, SS. Riverdale Ridge, Troy McWhorter, right back, cornerback, Ponderosa, Elian Oliva, offensive linebacker, right back, LS. Northfield, Malachi Payne, right backer, defensive back, Monarch, Maverick Powers, MLB, something linebacker, RB, Montrose, and Logan Uhlenhockey, defensive line, Monarch, Dylan Yanovich, defensive line, Palmer Ridge, and Matthew Zeck, defensive end, tight end, Pueblo West. Honorable mentions can be found at chsaanow.com/sports/football. Class 3A. Player of the Year, Luis Santana, Pomona. Coach of the Year, Nathan Johnson, Pomona. Honorable mentions can be found at chsaanow.com/sports/football. And this article is accompanied by a photo with the following caption. Ralston Valley senior quarterback Zeke Andrews led the Mustangs into the Class A 5A state championship game Saturday, December 6th at Canvas Stadium on the campus of Colorado State University in Fort Collins. And this is a picture of a young man throwing a football. And he's wearing a uniform that has MUS on it. And you can see the number 8 in white. And the uniform is kind of a royal blue. And his helmet is a light blue. And you can see in the bleachers, there are about 3 people sitting in the bleachers and 1 person on the sideline, although it's blurry, you can't quite tell. And the young man, he's a white man. It looks like he has a mouth guard in, and he is looking not at the football, but at somewhere else, perhaps the person who's catching the football. Arvada City Council approves rezoning for Candelas Point to allow townhomes. Comprehensive plan amendment approved to allow possible 52 townhome development by Riley Dunn. The Arvada City Council approved a major comprehensive plan amendment and a rezoning ordinance for a 4.86-acre parcel located at the southwest corner of West 92nd Drive and Wilkerson Court in the area commonly known as Candelas Point. The changes were approved by 2-6-0 votes at the December 16th City Council meeting, with Councilmember Bob Pfeiffer being an excused absence. The move allows a development with 52 two-story townhomes to move forward, although that specific development will have to go through a separate application process, which can begin now. The comprehensive plan land use designation for Candelas Point Block 3 was changed from mixed use to medium density residential, while the parcel was rezoned from planned unit development to R13, residential 13. The Candelas Point area includes Candelas Point Retail Center, two retail blocks, the future site of Kitty Academy, the future site of a Jefferson County Public Library branch, and an Arvada Fire Station. Council member Michael Griffith said he supported the comprehensive plan amendment because it shows how the city can change over time. This is the 2014 comprehensive plan, which was a different Arvada. I think that we were thinking for the west side of the city, Griffith said. In light of that, I just wanted to bring some attention to the fact that we're going to have a new comprehensive planning effort. No one has a crystal ball, but it's interesting to see how things kind of materialized over more than a decade. I appreciate that we're able to adapt to those changes in demand, and we're able to also meet the needs of community members and find things that fit. And I appreciate the efforts from the applicant to do that. Mayor Lauren Simpson said that she was glad the developer had done the work with surrounding neighborhoods to make sure the project was a good fit for the community. I always love it when we see these. I hate to say this on the more rare side, projects where they come forward and it works, like the community seems to be happy with this, Simpson said. They understand that this is a good project. The developer has done the work to match the surrounding neighborhood to make this a project that will seamlessly fit in and meet some of the community needs. Year-end remarks. The December 16th City Council meeting was the final meeting of the year for the body, and council members gave their thanks to city staff and residents for their commitment to the community over the past year. Griffith, who is in the first year as a city council member after being elected in November, said he and his fellow rookie council member Rebecca Levison had completed their training and thanked city staff for getting them up to speed. I just wanted to call attention to the fact that council member Levison and I have completed our council member training, and I wanted to express sincere gratitude to our city manager, assistant city manager, and our city attorney for spending so much time with us and going through a lot of information in detail, Griffith said. And all of the folks that support them came in to tell us about all the great work that staff does. I really appreciate the detail, and thank you for training us. Councilmember Randy Moorman thanked city staff and said he hoped that all Arvadans have a happy and safe and festive holiday season. I want to take the time to thank our staff here at the end of the year and our last council meeting of 2025, Moorman said. We've had a lot going on this year and a lot of good things. I really want to appreciate all the work that you, our teams, and especially our leadership have done to bring forth some great accomplishments in 2025. And with that, also, I want to extend happy holidays to all of our city staff and to the whole city. And I hope folks get a chance to take a nice break and be with family at this time, Moorman continued. Simpson thanked Deputy City Manager Linda Haley for stepping into an interim city manager role at the beginning of the year, and City Manager Don Wick for stepping into that role after a long hiring process. It's been a fantastic year, Simpson said. I, in particular, want to recognize both Deputy City Manager Linda Haley and City Manager Don Wick for their leadership in particular. Ms. Haley, of course, was acting city manager when we began the year. Mr. Wick won the competitive process for the position, and we're so honored to get to work with both of you and everything that you did for us for our city this year, as well as our team. Finally, City Council member Sharon Davis recognized city staff members and thanked her fellow council members for keeping things civil on the dais. Something she said doesn't always happen in other communities. I just wanted to say happy holidays, Davis said. I'm very grateful for Arvada, and I'm very grateful for all of our staff. Everywhere I go, I feel like I'm being so braggadocious when I talk about everybody, from the folks I see in the parks, our police officers, our leadership staff. I probably sound like a broken record to other elected officials, and I just want to show gratitude for just being able to walk in your sphere. Because it has been such a wonderful year, Davis continued, I can't believe it's the end of the year. This year went by so quickly. And also, welcome to our new members. It's also been a joy working with council. Other councils do really envy us because we don't write nasty grams on Facebook. We don't go out and do things to vilify one another. The next city council meeting is scheduled for January 6, 2026. And this article is accompanied by a photo with the following caption, a map of Candelas Point. And this has a picture of a map. And you can see Candelas Parkway going east-west on the north end, and Highway 72 going east-west on the south end. There's Trailstone on the east side, and there is Stormwater Detention, Arvada Fire Station. I can't read the other things. Something site. There's also future Jefferson County Library, and this is on a green parcel on the map. There are also several other neighborhoods showing on the map. Several homes, it looks like, with a couple of cul-de-sacs. And there are a few other things within Candelas Point, the part of Candelas Point that's outlined on the map. But I can't quite read what else is there, but there are a few other buildings or parcels. Voters decide to decide on harsher fentanyl penalties on the 2026 ballot. By Chase Woodruff. A measure backed by a conservative dark money group proposing tougher penalties on fentanyl possession and distribution will appear on Colorado's 2026 ballot, the Secretary of State office announced. Initiative 85 is the first measure to qualify for the 2026 ballot. It's backed by Advanced Colorado, a conservative nonprofit advocacy group that does not disclose its donors. Supporters last month said they had turned in more than 180,000 petition signatures for the measure. The state elections officials confirmed Monday that the group had submitted the 124,238 valid signatures required to place the statutory initiative on the statewide ballot. The measure would make the possession of any amount of fentanyl a felony, further rolling back bipartisan drug policy reform passed by Colorado lawmakers in 2019. It would also mandate harsher penalties for the distribution, manufacturing, dispensing, or sale of fentanyl. Fentanyl remains the single biggest public health issue facing our state, John Kellner said in a statement posted to social media by Advance Colorado. While steps were taken at the state capitol to try and address the situation, those steps did not go nearly far enough. An estimated 790 people died from a synthetic opioid overdose in Colorado in 2024. Consistent with national trends, that figure represented a substantial drop from peak levels in the previous years, though it's still higher than the rates of overdose deaths prior to 2020. Colorado lawmakers in 2019 passed a law, House Bill 19-1263, reducing the possession of less than 4 grams of most controlled substances from a felony to a misdemeanor, a change that supporters, including the Colorado Criminal Justice Reform Coalition, at the time called a, quote, step toward treating drug use as a matter of public health rather than criminal justice. The bill was co-sponsored by two Republicans, former State Senator Vicky Marble of Fort Collins and Representative Shane Sandridge of Colorado Springs. It was signed into law just as overdoses from synthetic opioids like fentanyl were surging. Public health researchers attribute the surge in part to the aggressive crackdown on the supply of opioid medications like OxyContin in response to the 2010s opioid crisis, which led dealers and people with substance use disorders to seek alternatives. Because of their high potency in extremely small doses, fentanyl is used in medical settings in amounts measured in micrograms. Synthetic opioids are much more dangerous to users of illicit drugs. The counterfeit pill containing as little as 2 milligrams of fentanyl can lead to a fatal overdose. The alarming increase in fentanyl overdoses also gave rise to widespread myths and misconceptions about the drug. Police officers, including some in Colorado, have routinely claimed to have been affected by passive exposure to aerosolized fentanyl powder, which toxicologists say is pharmacologically impossible. Law enforcement figures and conservative politicians also frequently make wildly exaggerated claims about the number of fatal fentanyl doses seized in drug busts by confusing the compound weights of seized pills containing fentanyl for pure fentanyl in its powder form. Such misinformation risks harming people in need of emergency treatment by making bystanders and first responders more hesitant to intervene, according to medical experts. Under pressure from prosecutors and law enforcement officials, state lawmakers in 2022 rolled back HB 1263 and made possession of more than 1 gram of any compound containing fentanyl, roughly as little as 10 counterfeit opioid pills, a felony again. As a statutory measure, Initiative 85, which will receive a new proposition number when it appears in the ballots in November, would need a simple majority to pass. The story was shared under the republishing guidelines of Colorado Newsline at coloradonewsline.com. And this article is accompanied by a picture with the following caption: ballots wait to be counted at the Adams County Government Center in Brighton in November 2023. And this is a photo of a shelf with six boxes on it, and each box has several envelopes going all the way back to the back of the shelf. And there's several words, it looks like label other end, United States Postal Service, on each one of the boxes, and they all look relatively the same. From the Canyon Courier, bigger changes are planned for Morrison's Gateway. Town and Bear Creek Development are partnering in plans to develop 36 adjoining acres, by Jane Reuter. Most of the town of Morrison and Bear Creek Development will jointly plan to develop about 36 acres east of the Hogback near the Phillips 66 gas station and former Bandamere Speedway. The project, still years from its first shovel of dirt, will dramatically change the entrance to Morrison, while its board believes it will allow the actual town to retain its quaint historic community nature. This will be a big change for everyone, but I think it's such a good way to change the town without changing the core of the town, town manager Mallory Nassau said. That land feels so separated. It will also be great for long-term revenue to help with some of the things we need. The Morrison Town Board voted in early December to grant Bear Creek an access and utility easement through its pending land in exchange for Bear Creek picking up the tab for a joint conceptual master plan. I think it just makes a lot of sense to co-plan these properties, whether it was with Bandamere Copart of the town. Said Ross Bailey, president of Bear Creek Development, I think we're just waiting until we could get another willing party. It didn't make sense to do our part alone. Bear Creek Development is owned by Jeff Bradley and his family, who are deeply entrenched in Jefferson County, and own multiple properties in Morrison, Evergreen, and throughout the county. Their property includes 47 undeveloped acres just outside Morrison proper, including the Hog Back and extending north of Morrison Road to Bandimere Speedway and east to the Phillips 66 gas station. About 20 acres of that land is developable. Morrison will soon own 16 acres adjoining Bear Creek's development parcel. Copart, a global auto company and the new owner of the Speedway property, agreed as part of its annexation into the town to transfer the mixed-use acreage to Morrison. That will happen upon approval of Copart's site plan, which is under review. Bear Creek Development has already started work on its end of the bargain. It hired consulting firm THK Associates to conduct a market study. "They're just awesome," he said. "We're going to wait and see what they come up with. Then THK will propose it to the town board once it's done." The joint proposal will save town money. It has budgeted $150,000 in 2026 for planning on the 16 acres. "I imagine we will spend much less, at least on the master plan," Nassau said. "Without question, it's a big cost savings. I think we're anticipating spending money every year for many years on it, and this is a great way to get the project off the ground and work together." The board currently plans to pursue a public-private partnership in developing the land, but while it might turn some services related to the property over to companies that specialize in such areas, Morrison intends to keep the property. "I don't think it's something we have any interest in selling," Nassau said. And this is accompanied by a photo with the following caption. The zoning map shows the Copart property, previously Bandimere Speedway, in mint green, Bear Creek Development's 47 acres, 20 of which it aims to develop, is just below it in blue and outlined in red on the left, while the town's future 16 acres are in blue and outlined in purple on the right. A portion of C-470 can be seen far right and the town of Morrison far left bottom. This is a picture of Bear Creek Development, future town, and it's got a red line around it. And there's also some green at the top. And it is purple and blue and yellow and green and gray. Looking back on the year in the foothills, 2025 brought misery and joy to the community. By Jane Reuter. The year 2025 brought heartbreak to the foothills when the kind of tragedy most thought would never happen here did. On September 10th, an Evergreen High School student shot and critically wounded two other students before turning the gun on himself. These horrid moments did not, however, make most of the community more fearful or distrustful. Instead, as community members came together to support the high school students and one another, it added a new sense of cohesion to the already tight-knit community. Evergreen Strong continues to define Evergreen and the surrounding area, not just as a rallying cry, but as a new way of life. While 2025 may be remembered most for the shooting, it was also a year of highlights and other news, the most significant of which we've tried to capture here. Conifer gets a new library. After 3 decades of sharing space at Conifer High School, the community finally got what many have been asking for decades, its own freestanding library. The 5,000-square-foot space opened recently in a renovated space in Conifer Town Center. Its high school space limited its hours, parking, and ability to host programs, none of which remain an issue. In fact, Jefferson County Library is working with Conifer Library Manager Jared Johnson to make Conifer its first staffed express library with self-service access around the clock. Mocha and Mistletoe to make its a premiere. A year after its filming in Evergreen, a holiday movie featuring one of the community's most beloved business owners will make its premiere here. Mocha and Mistletoe debuts at Evergreen Center Stage Theater December 27th. Java Groove coffee shop owner Eric Martinez, who persuaded filmmaker Candy Kane to make a holiday film in Evergreen, had a leading role in the movie as the fictional coffee shop's manager and line cook. Several other Evergreen residents appear as extras. The plot of the rom-com centers around a magical piece of mistletoe that helps people find true love. Scenes were shot over several weeks at the Lake House, Little Bear Saloon, Java Groove, and during the 2024 holiday walk. "I hope it's worth the wait," Martinez says. "I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited." Elk Creek Fire ends long battle for unification. The Elk Creek Fire Board gave up November 2021 on its latest effort to unify with its neighboring fire district, a decision its board president said was made to save using taxpayer funds on a battle that threatened to go on for years. But their opponents, who included fellow board member Chuck Newby, said the board was facing a defeat in district court and knew it, and that is the real reason that they walked away. Both parties asked for a consent decree to terminate the nearly year-long litigation on November 21, which the district court granted. Concert venue sewage floods local elementary fields. An estimated 1,000 to 2,000 gallons of sewage from a Red Rocks amphitheater line flooded the athletic fields at Red Rocks Elementary November 9th, forcing the school to close for a week. While the City and County of Denver, which owns and manages Red Rocks Amphitheater, owns the sewer pipe, it has contracted with the Town of Morrison for its sewer and water system maintenance for many years. Neither the town nor the amphitheater took responsibility for the issue, but they are working together to resolve issues within the system. Judge stepping down as Evergreen Chamber President. Nancy Judge, the Evergreen Area Chamber of Commerce's CEO/president for the last 5 years, announced she will be stepping down at the end of the year. She's accepted a position with the Evergreen Park and Recreation District as its Director of Community Engagement and Development, a new post for the organization. EPRD is in the midst of a building series of huge community amenities, including a large aquatics expansion at Buchanan Recreation Center, a remodel of the 42-acre Buchanan Park, eventual construction of a field house, and planned improvements at Wolf Recreation Center. Judge will help to support and raise community awareness with EPRD's Active for All Evergreen Foundation, its charitable fundraising partner. County approves Buchanan Park plans. Plans to renovate Buchanan Park got an enthusiastic and unanimous thumbs up from the Jefferson County Planning Commission October 22nd. That endorsement means Evergreen Park and Recreation District can move forward with critical permits needed to begin work to transform the now fragmented park into a community-gathered space. What you're doing throughout the park for all ages and interest levels, there's no way you can put a monetary value on that because you're changing lives, said Planning Commission Chairman Tim Rogers. You're not just giving them something to do. By giving them a community space where they can gather and enjoy each other, it's so invaluable. This is a permanent investment for generations to come. County denies request for El Rancho property. In a split September 30th vote, the Jefferson County Commissioners denied developer Jack Buchanan's proposal for a special district service plan at his company's Evergreen Parkway/Interstate 70 property, a vote he recently said would spell the end for the El Rancho building. Commissioners rejected the idea based on concerns about incomplete information and the district's ability to cover its debt. While the El Rancho building's future wasn't under consideration as part of the September 30th vote, Buchanan had proposed moving the historic structure across Highway 40 to the observatory property. With El Rancho off-site, Quick Trip could move forward with plans to build a convenience store and gas station. If we aren't successful with the county commission, El Rancho will be demolished, he said in early September. Evergreen community gathers to mourn, support one another. Evergreen's Buchanan Ballfield was the scene of hugs, so many hugs, as an estimated 1,800 community members gathered in mutual support after the September 10th Evergreen High School shooting. Governor Jared Polis, State Representative Brittany Peterson, and many other state and county elected officials joined local church leaders to offer words of consolidation. While there was laughter along with tears, residents who spoke said they were numb, angry, or simply shrugged their shoulders wordlessly. The vigil took place less than 30 hours after shots rang out at the high school, and while emotions were still ragged, people also clearly drew comfort from being together. Community members mingled well into the night. Even as darkness fell and late summer mountain chill descended on the field, few seemed ready to leave. The turnout, it's like when the community is in need, Evergreen comes, says Jessica Barks, an art therapist with Resilience 1220. Three people shot at Evergreen High School. Three juvenile Evergreen High School students, including the shooter, were shot on the school September 10th and transported to hospitals, according to Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. A fourth student was also sent to the hospital with unknown injuries. St. Anthony's Hospital in Lakewood confirmed three Evergreen High School students were at the hospital with gunshot wounds. One of the students died, according to the medical team at Common Spirit St. Anthony Hospital. The sheriff's office confirmed the shooting in a social media post at 1:14 p.m. September 10th and identified the suspected shooter as Desmond Hawley, 16, via social media on September 11th. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office said all of the victims were students at the school. EHS has more than 900 students. The sheriff's office later confirmed that the shooter is a male who suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Town district resolve long-standing water issues. Tears of wrangling for water between the town of Morrison and the developers of Red Rocks Ranch came to an end July 28th when the metro district that governs the development approved a new intergovernmental agreement between the two. The new IGA replaces the original, which was penned in 2008 when Red Rocks Ranch was planned to grow to twice the size it's now expected to be. It has been amended 8 times since then. Pro-unification candidates sweep Elk Creek Fire Board election. Two candidates who favor unifying Elk Creek Fire with Conifer Fire overwhelmingly won a pair of open seats on the Elk Creek Fire Board. Voters elected Al Leo and Kathleen Noonan on the May 6 election to replace Greg Pixley and Melissa Baker on the board. Both were term limited. The two gained nearly 5 times or more the votes of opponents, Michael Bartlett, Thomas Seymour, and Todd Wagner. Bartlett and Wagner are former Elk Creek firefighters. The two newcomers' election leaves Chuck Newby, the lone voice on the board against unification, an effort to merge Elk Creek Fire with Conifer Fire. If two candidates who oppose that move had been elected to the 5-member board, the board could have voted to repeal a previously adopted memorandum of understanding and consolidation, stopping the unification effort. Deer Creek Canyon Park reopens. In an outcome that firefighters view as a victory, the popular Deer Creek Canyon Park will partially reopen May 15th, with a full reopening expected August 1, more than one-third of it burned in the 2024 quarry fire. The park, which has about 14.5 miles of trails on about 1,640 acres, is beloved by hikers and mountain bikers. It's a beautiful park, and it will absolutely look different now, said Skip Sherlaw, deputy chief for the Conifer Fire Protection District. But the positive outcome was no houses or lives were lost in that fire. Evergreen's unofficial mayor dies. The unofficial mayor of Evergreen passed away on March 19th. John Ellis died peacefully at 77, according to his obituary. A lifelong resident of Evergreen, Ellis was beloved for his upbeat personality, giving spirit, and devotion to his community. His obituary notes, In the end, John's big giving heart gave out. A celebration of life for Ellis is from 4 to 7 p.m. April 9th at Evergreen Lake House. He leaves behind a grieving community, but one whose residents universally say it is better for having had him in it. To live in Evergreen is to know John Ellis, said Nancy Judge, president of the Evergreen Chamber of Commerce. He was the one and only true mayor of Evergreen, always with a smile on his face and taking time to talk to everyone. He was a true ambassador for the entire community. County plans more forest mitigation work. Jefferson County plans more forest mitigation work in several of its parks in the next 2 years. Work outlined under a 2022 Jefferson County Open Space Forest Health Plan designed to protect the areas and nearby communities from wildfire. This year, the county plans to mitigate 86 acres in Conifer's Beaver Creek Ranch Park and begin similar work on 72 at Lookout Mountain Preserve. The preserve is at the top of Lookout Mountain near the Nature Center and Butcher Mansion. In coming years, the county will do more work at Conifer's Meyer Ranch and Flying J Parks, where some work has already been done. It will also return to multiple other parks where it's done work to remove seedlings that have since grown in areas where projects first began 10 to 15 years ago. Evergreen celebrates its sesquicentennial. When former Jefferson County Commissioner Dwight Wilmot first came to Evergreen in 1875, he was struck by its natural beauty. That same year, he asked the federal government to put a post office in the community, requesting they name it Evergreen after the trees he so loved. Because Evergreen is not incorporated, that occasion, the first in which the name Evergreen was used, marks the community's official beginning, according to Historic Jeffco. And that makes 2025 Evergreen's 150th anniversary. To honor its sesquicentennial, the Evergreen Chamber of Commerce lined up a year's worth of events, including a monthly gathering called Sacred Spaces that takes a closer look at the community's most treasured places and assets, and a July 3rd night in the park that will shine a spotlight on historical organizations and speakers. It's something worth celebrating, said Chamber President Nancy Judge. In addition to Evergreen, Colorado, as a state, will celebrate its sesquicentennial next year. In addition to that, we've got a lot of organizations within our community that are celebrating anniversaries, organizations that make up the fabric of what our community is today. And this article is accompanied by a photo with the following caption: a scene from Mocha and Mistletoe, including Java Groove owner Eric Martinez Center. It was filmed in Evergreen for 2 weeks in December of 2024. And we have a picture of Santa Claus in the front. It's black in the background. It looks like people are outside at night. And it looks like they're singing, laughing. There's a couple in the background. It looks like Martinez himself is next to Santa Claus. It looks like he may have his arm around Santa Claus. And then there's a woman. It looks like she's supposed to be Mrs. Claus. She's also looking at toward the camera. And then there's another couple laughing and looking at Santa Claus. From the Jeffco transcript, Ralston Valley basketball off to another red hot start, by Dennis Pluse. It was about as perfect a quarter of basketball as anyone could imagine. Ralston Valley's boys basketball jumped out to a 32-3 lead on Dakota Ridge in the opening quarter on December 15th at Ralston Valley High School. The only shot from the field the Mustangs missed was a falling out-of-bounds three-pointer from senior Cole Pfeiffer at the buzzer. We were moving it well, sharing the ball a lot, Ralston Valley senior Caden Brechetta said, of the first 8 minutes. I think almost every basket was off an assist. We've been playing together forever. Our chemistry is really good. Ralston Valley went on to a 70-37 victory in the Mustangs' final game before winter break. We talked about leaving an imprint before winter break, Ralston Valley coach Chris Burketta said. Just playing well, sharing it and moving it, keeping the team chemistry up. I think that first quarter we really did. Despite the undefeated start, the Mustangs 6-0 record were a long way from the 19-0 start to the Ralston Valley to the season Ralston Valley had a year ago. The Mustangs' first loss last season didn't come until Class A Jeffco League play against Valor Christian on February 11th. Ralston Valley finished the 2024-25 season with a 23-3 record. Two losses to Valor, including a 6A state quarterfinal loss at the Denver Coliseum, is something that the Mustangs haven't forgotten. We talk about that Valor game a little bit, Coach Burketta said, flashing back to the Mustangs' season-ending 72-59 loss to conference rival Valor. We just needed more guys, and I think we have that this year. Ralston Valley graduated leading scorer Tanner Burketta, currently playing at the University of Northern Colorado, but the Mustangs' next six lead scorers were all juniors last season. Tanner's younger brother, Caden, has already made his mark, going over the 1,000-point career mark this season and scoring a game-high 17 points in the victory against Dakota Ridge. Obviously, playing with him the last 3 years was great. The amount of attention he took that allowed me to get open shots was great, Caden Burketta said. This year, I'm more of a leadership role now without him. I'll handle the ball a little bit more. I think this is good for all of us to experience that. Senior Zeke Andrews is just coming off quarterbacking Ralston Valley's football team to its first ever trip to state championship game. Andrews came off the bench Monday night to score 13 points all in the first half. Seniors Frank Sauti, 11 points, and Alex Sungi, 9 points, showed the Mustangs' depth. I do think we are deeper this year. Losing Levi Rilos does hurt, Coach Burketta said of the junior guard, who was injured in the 5A state football championship game and won't play basketball this winter. I think we have a solid bench, and with all those solid juniors that are now seniors. Ralston Valley was able to let off the gas in the final quarter as Coach Burketta emptied his bench. The Mustangs will return to action at home against Chaparral on Saturday, January 3rd. Dakota Ridge will be able to get some rest after playing 8 games since December 2nd. The Eagles come off of winter break with a home game against Rock Canyon on January 7th. Cedars' Caden Dixon, 12 all in the second half, and Cade Schattinger, 11 points, led the way for the Eagles against Ralston Valley. Dennis Pluse is the sports information director for Jeffco Public Schools. For more Jeffco coverage, go to coloradopreps.com and chsaanow.com. And this article is included with the following photo. Ralston Valley senior Caden Burketta, in the number 22, is followed on a drive to the basket by Dakota Ridge senior Cade Schattinger, 15. During the first quarter, Monday, December 15th, at Ralston Valley High School, Burketta scored a game-high 17 points in the Mustangs' 70-37 victory. Photo by Dennis Pluse. So this is a picture of DRHS person. Their uniform says DRHS, and they're in number 15, trying to take the ball away from number 22, Caden Burketta. And number one from the other team looks on, as well as there's an assist by another person. I can't tell their number. And there are some, you don't see you see the hoop or the net of the basket, but that's about it. And there are several, I'd say, banners in the background that say Ralston Valley and various years and various types of sports. There are a few people who are looking on from the bench, from the bleachers as well. Thank you for joining us for the Saturday, December 27, 2025 reading of the Jefferson County Publications. My name is Donna Gill.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.